Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diane Mendt.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Robert?
Today, Russell, I am feeling inspired.
Yeah?
And creatively inspired.
Ooh.
Because we are in Covent Garden,
yep,
in the centre of London.
WC2.
Surrounded by creativity and ideas.
Stuff. Like, surrounded, yeah, by stuff, Rob.
Well, I know, but it's not just stuff for us. It's carefully collected and bought over many, many decades.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of groups of objects that would spark creativity,
yeah,
and ideas and actually joy for me, because I feel like everywhere I'm looking, I am getting seriously excited.
Would you say they were curiosities?
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's a collection.
Yeah.
It's a proper huge collection. I mean, I've never seen so much art in one place. It's,
yeah,
totally exciting and genius.
Yeah.
And it's like a bit like when you go to the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition,
yes,
and there's like floor to ceiling.
Salon hang,
exactly,
everywhere.
Every single way. Even the door, when we walked through it, has a pink line. It's the most elegant
door, yeah,
I've ever seen in my life.
I wonder what our guest thinks of the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition. We'll have
well,
to ask him.
We will, yeah. So today's guest is kind of needs no introduction, because he's a world leader and one of the greatest fashion designers we've ever had in,
yeah,
the UK.
Yes.
And
one of our
greatest
exports.
He is a sir.
Yes.
And this week has just got the Companion of Honour,
yes,
from the Queen, which,
yes,
is like the highest order of respect.
We're getting a salute right now. Yeah.
So we would like to welcome to Talk Art,
Sir Paul Smith.
Oh, hello, hello. What an,
hi,
introduction. I'm not sure I'll be able to get my head out of that elegant striped door.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
well, can
you.
I just say, you have, so we've got, you're a CHCBERDI, Sir Paul Smith. These all, how many letters have you got after your name now? That's 9. Can you collect any more letters? It was like you're collecting letters,
I'm
which
not
goes
sure
your.
I've got an envelope long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's very lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm also a Legion d'Honneur from,
wow,
France as well. And I've just got something coming up from Italy, apparently, which,
no,
I'm not
way,
to say anything about. Well, it's a secret.
Is it? Well, congratulations,
yeah,
but congratulations for getting the, I want to get it right, Order of the Companion of Honour.
Yes, I mean, to be absolutely honest, I didn't really know about that award, and
oh,
it's,
wow,
one that you can add on to a knighthood, and I looked at the list, and my gosh, humbled or what?
Well, you were the top of the list. In the,
well,
list.
You were the first in the list.
There's, think, only 65 people who ever can be a Companion of Honour, ever.
So someone has to pass away?
Yeah. Before? Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. It's like a membership thing then.
Yeah.
And what does it grant you getting that?
I don't know. I think it's just a nice pat on the back to say, well done, sir.
Keep going.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I mean, there's David Hockney, Judi Dench, there's,
wow,
you know, just lots of really creative, Richard Eyre, who,
wow,
we love.
Yeah,
we,
yeah,
love Richard's work.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's,
yeah,
a talented
director.
So, I mean, yeah, so very, very, very privileged to be on it, yeah.
And also, who, it's your 50th anniversary. So,
yeah,
it's like the perfect,
yeah, yeah, I
the
mean,
perfect
a
time.
A lot happened last Friday.
Exactly.
It was the 50th anniversary of my company.
Yeah.
From when I started, age 3, of course, when I started the company.
Yes, of course. I think it was 2, actually.
Yeah,
come
was
on.
It 2? Yeah.
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 You were 2 when, yeah, you started, yeah.
Yeah. 50th anniversary, 9th of October, 1970. I mean, when I say started the company, that was a 3-meter by 3-meter room that I called a shop.
Uh-huh.
So that was the start of the company. A book, came out published by Fiden.
Yeah, I've got that in front of us here. Yeah. That's incredible. That came beautifully out by, bound. On
Friday. My foundation started Paul Smith's. That's the important bit.
Uh-huh.
Paul Smith's foundation.
And is there a comma in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay, well, between the S's.
And an extra S.
Got it, right.
And that's a foundation that I've been working on for a few years and just putting a little bit of money on one side to help. It's basically aimed at teenagers and anybody really, but hopefully young people in creative who just want a bit of a, you know, advice on how do I do that? What do I do? So that's been, I mean, it started on Friday. We've already got, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 people looking
so
at it.
So how does it work? People ring up and is it like careers advice?
Yeah, there's lots of information on the site, right. You know, with boring stuff I've talked about for years that somebody's written down, which is good. And then also there's a person that can answer questions as well.
Wow.
Not immediately, but you know.
But to do with creativity, to do with like...
It's basically... All my years of experience trying to just help.
Be a mentor in some ways.
Yeah, so it's not about legacy. It's more about, you know, just experience being passed on to the future generation.
And also that's something that I've always respected you for because I've seen you be this very sort of generous person.
So generous.
I know there's that pyjama line called Desmond and Dempsey and I think they came to you and had a meeting and you that's what you actually do for so many different other creative businesses.
What we're talking about is money. Filofax, you had
a big
change there.
I know. 80s, yeah. I mean, they went from selling 8.
Yeah.
I sold 17,000 of them.
Amazing.
Yeah, so over a period of time, admittedly, not all in a week.
Yeah.
But somewhere over there, there's probably, you see that box over there with lots of kids on it? White jug. I mean, that's Oakham School from Rutland. They come every year, 15-year-olds. The Arts Centre from Pasadena, they bring a team of people over.
Wow. Well, it's amazing because you have a scholarship as well for fashion students in Nottingham, where you're from, and Japan, so they can do like
a swap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I have a scholarship at the Royal Academy and previously at the Slade School of Art.
And I heard that you and Pauline actually helped to select the students at the Royal Academy schools.
That's right. Yeah,
we do. So brilliant.
Every year you do that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And the lady whose name I would love to learn how to say, Lynette...
Yaiden Bayachi. Yeah.
She's one of our recipients.
Oh, really?
No way.
Yeah. Wow.
And she's about to have a solo at
Tate.
Tate Britain, coming up in November.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, she was one of one of her works down there somewhere.
Wow.
No way. Oh, yeah, I can see an etching, down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's hers, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so she was one of the recipients of their Paul Smith Scholarship. And then James Lloyd, who that big painting is there, he went on to... win the BP
portrait prize.
Yeah, and then
he did your portrait, didn't he?
Yeah, well, then the commission was they get cash and then they get a commission. And they said, oh, it's to paint Paul Smith. And he said, he put me through school, he paid for all my education.
Wow.
So that was lovely because I didn't know.
Oh, that is lovely though. So, that is just such an amazing gift that you're giving back. Why do you think that's so important? Why are you driven to do that for people?
I've always been just an ordinary bloke, really. You know, they're down, very down to earth. My dad was really similar. You know, I think hopefully I got some of his way of being. Just a person who never really thought about anything else, really, other than just having a nice day and doing nice things. And we've never sat, Pauline and I never sat round a table ever and thought, we are going to have a business that's going to sell in lots of countries.
Yeah.
You know, we just thought, why don't we have a little shop? And then...
Yeah, but it's just amazing that you also have the, like, space to give other people opportunity and to support other people and creativity
it's so brilliant. I normally start here in this room where we are on the fourth floor. And then this is my room. And then as we go down the building, I say, when they come here, I say, I know you probably want to be a designer, but there are lots of other lovely jobs. So as we go down the building, you'll see you could be, you know, a window dresser, a buyer, working social media. You know, you can do all sorts of things within the fashion industry. All my three girls that are normally out there all studied fashion.
Yeah.
But, you know, ended up helping me just run things. So it's lovely.
You mentioned your father. So do you think his influence in your life, because he gave you a camera, didn't he, quite early on?
Yeah, so, when I was 11. Yeah, he was an amateur photographer. And such a, I mean, that generation, They're a joy, that generation. He never he mended his own car. He painted the house. He did the wallpapering. And when he started, he started the local camera club in the town where we lived. And then he built a dart room in the attic. So, you know, when I say built a dart room, he built a dart room.
Yes.
Yes. So you said there was a mop handle with a hook on the end that you pushed up through a trapdoor, pulled down the ladder that was on a pulley, and the weight of the pulley was an old paint tin full of some weight, probably lead or something.
Wow.
And then
that's something out of Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, no, yeah. Do you know, Heath Robinson.
Yeah, so
it was very complete. My whole upbringing with my dad was like very Heath Robinson.
Do you know Heath Robinson?
Yeah.
He does this kind of social experimental drawings of like people in the kitchen in like
there's
doing
loads of books over
oh,
there.
Oh really? Yeah, cool. I mean, but they're all kind of very futuristic, but they were done in like the 30s and 40s, yeah. Right?
I mean, Heath Robinson was like, you know,
kinetic energy.
Yeah, just the pipe that goes up there and goes along there, then it goes down past that, and then it heats the radiator.
Yeah. So it's kind of satirical, but it's also what the future could be like, but with everyone in kind of traditional clothes at the time. It's really amazing, like a social study type work. Yeah.
In the book, there's the editor of the book, who's a guy called Tony Chambers. Mm. He said, instead of doing a fashion book, why don't you do a book of this room, and because of what you guys are talking about, why don't you do like just choose 50 objects and then do an essay on each of the objects, chosen the object. And one of the things is a glass that are you familiar with the artist called Ewan Uglow, who passed away a few years ago? And he was from the Slade School of Art, and he was taught by somebody called William Coldstream.
Yeah.
William Coldstream was the boss of the Slade, mm-hmm. and then he taught Ewan, and then Ewan taught my wife at the Slade School of Art, and we used to go around to his house, which is a funny old muse, which was completely as I've described my dad, you know, like the door closed because there was a piece of string over a pulley with a weight
right.
and all that. So we're having supper, and then a glass of wine, the wine glass came out, and I could see the base of the wine glass was silver as a cross. And I said, oh, what happened there, Ewan? Oh, I broke the glass, so I repaired it. He'd taken the top of a tap
and then put the base of the stem of the glass in the hole from the tap.
And so that's in the book, and it's just that whole thing.
And you've
about,
got that glass?
Yeah, it's over there. I'll show you.
No way, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this room, right? So we're in this.
I tidied it up specially.
Have you? Yeah. So was this big, massive office desk that we're on, or like a meeting desk, was this covered in?
No, actually, this one's always empty, this
is
desk.
It? Okay.
Because this is where I have my design meetings. And right. then it's joyful, as you said earlier. You know, you just lean back and go, I love the colours in this Richard Hamilton book or this whatever. And then suddenly you've got the start of a new collection, you know.
Yeah.
It's just this sort of birth of ideas, this room.
So what we're looking at is ephemera and curios, as we said earlier, and a collection of inspiring things for you over many, 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 many years.
Yeah, this I moved here. Into this building in 2000, so this is 20 years.
Wow.
It was empty when I moved in because my old office was exactly the same above the Covent Garden shop.
On Floral Street.
And then when I left, I thought, I can't really take any of it with me. So I just left it there until about 2 years ago, by which time the moths and the mice, no, they haven't really. but I left most of it there. So when I moved in this room 20 years ago, it was empty. And most of it, not all of it, but really a lot of the things you see in here are gifts from people around
from
the world.
Fans.
Which is just fantastic. Nearly all the cycle racing jerseys are gifts from the actual bike riders themselves, because
cool.
I used to be a bike rider. The walking sticks behind you over there from Jamie Oliver and Gennaro, and they've hand-carved themselves. In that tube there...
Sorry, Jamie Oliver hand-carves walking sticks?
Well, when he's in Italy with his mate, Gennaro, he got taught how to do that, yeah. by
the chef cool. Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
How crazy. Well,
we have to get a picture of them because people are going to be like, what?
That's wild. Yeah. I never knew that.
Well, initially, Carluccio, do you remember the
yeah.
who passed away sadly? Yeah. But you know,
Carluccio, the restaurateur.
Yeah, the restaurateur. He started it.
Interesting.
And then Gennaro, who worked with Carluccio, took it on. And then Jamie's learned, I don't know how many of those Jamie's
done. But you have to be a chef to then do these things with walking sticks.
Walking sticks, chef.
Very logical, really works out.
Yeah.
But all of this stuff is an inspiration, you were saying, for collections and people send
you things. Yeah, I mean, the post, honestly, the post, almost every day is absolutely, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
And it's from all over the world, isn't it? Because I know some of those items over there are from Japan, aren't they?
Yeah.
And haven't they actually inspired the colours of some of your collections?
There's a bike, a green bike, an old one over there. And on my birthday, about 4 years ago, they called from reception and said, oh, there's a lady downstairs got a present for you.
No way.
So I went downstairs and she was standing there. And she said, oh, I'm going to meet you. That's nice.
Oh.
And then she said, this is a bike from the year you were born. And I said, wow, thank you very much. And would you like a photo? And normally people go, yeah, and put their arm around you. And then she was saying, oh, that would be very nice. Anyway, cut the long story short. I said, where's it from? Blah, blah, blah. She'd come from Russia that morning with the bike.
Cycling all the way? Just be exhausted.
She did look tired, actually. She'd come from Russia that morning, and she was going back to Russia in the afternoon.
That is wild.
Sorry. And she didn't even know I was going to be here. I mean, it's just absolutely breathtaking.
Dedication, yeah.
But that's how inspiring you are to people.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like enough of the gifts? I really appreciate it.
The most wonderful thing was my lovely assistant, who just had a baby 2 days ago, who's been with me for many, many years, who's never fazed by anything. So one day we get, and she's very efficient, call from reception, live pigeon arrive for Paul. That's not in the schedule.
Oh, my.
She didn't go.
So where's this pigeon now?
She didn't say, what a live pigeon.
Yeah.
She says, that's not a schedule. I mean, love genius.
Have you still got this pigeon or?
No, we chucked it out the window. It went home. It was for a film. It was for some filming because what you said is when you walked in, I don't have an email.
Yeah.
So they were doing the filming. They say, this is how Paul communicates.
Oh, like carry a pigeon.
Messaging. Yeah, you just write a bit of paper and send it out the window.
He arrived in the box, the pigeon. And then there was a phone number on the side. So I thought, oh, gosh. So I rang. I said, I've just got a pigeon. He said, oh, yes. They're going to do some filming. And I said, well, will you come and collect him later? He said, oh, no, just put him out on the windowsill. He'll come home.
How wild.
So we put him on the windowsill. And he, like, got his compass out. And then he and then he went left. And then
that's hilarious.
Do you see the red dog over there?
Yes.
Yeah. That's for 40 years. An unknown fan has been sending me things like a skateboard, a bit of wood, a fishing rod, a hat, a dog, etc. You see the fluffy chicken in yellow.
With the stamps on.
Yeah. So the two key things. One is there's never a message, so I've no idea who they're from, and there's never a message, I love you, I hate you, I want money, I want a job. And they're never in a box. They always arrive with the stamps in the address on the actual piece of
where are the stamps from?
America.
So it's from America somewhere.
Yeah, so they've been coming for 40 years. I mean, I've had...
How regularly?
Initially, about every month. Now, a few a year. So we had... And it's become like performance art with the postman. So Beth, who's on reception downstairs, the postman arrives recently... with a cowbell round his neck. One of those Austrian cowbells.
With the stamps all over it.
Yeah, with the stamps in the address. And he's going, dong, dong, arriving. So she just says, for Paul, right? And he goes, yeah. And that was it.
So
he's become like performance art. Actually, on a serious note, I honestly think it's more art than a lot of things we call art.
Well, it's like mail art, isn't it? It's like on Kiwari, you used to send them postcards of people saying, I'm still here, or I woke up at 8:30.
It's absolutely genius. I mean, it's just so amazing. So much of this stuff is just in that carton there that says Highfield on it.
Yeah.
There's some amazing rock posters from a group of gentlemen who I think they're in their 60s, whose studio is a polythene. It's a a shack covered in polythene, and they print all the some Zimbabwe. They print all the posters for the local gigs. So these arrived one day with no notes or anything.
Wow!
And I just think, how do people know? You know, it's so.
Yeah, but all of this feeds into your
absolutely
work, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the posters were an inspiration for print on a shirt, and you know, etc. You know,
and also art has really influenced your collections, hasn't it? So you've actually like directly been at the Tate Modern, seen a painting, and then referenced those colours in your
prints. Auerbach, the Frank Auerbach painting is now called Our Artist Stripe, and it was just taking the colours from the painting. Yeah. Which is now called an artist stripe. And, it's often direct references.
What do you mean an artist stripe? Because you're known for stripes.
Yeah. So we took the colours from an Auerbach painting.
Yeah.
And I think there were five colours. And then put them into a stripe. And we just did it for one season. And then it's become so popular that, you know, 10 years later, it's still...
Well, these are the more muted ones, the more greeny ones.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And does Frank know about this?
Sorry, the line's gone crack.
Well, he must be aware. He must know. Well, he's inspired everybody. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't be worried about a stripe being.
It's only the
colours,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's not his layers of thick oil paint. Yeah. You know.
So you were nearly a photographer for like a short period of time.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've shot a lot of our campaigns. You know, our actual fashion campaigns. Mm. I mean, really a lot. And then also I worked with Arena. I did some pictures for Arena magazine. I've worked for Casa Vogue, Architectural Digest. As a photographer. Yeah, I mean, just for fun.
But I've always seen that part of your life, though, to really inform everything you've done, because I feel like you've been taking photographs since you were 11 or something.
Isn't it? That's right.
When your dad first gave you the camera.
Yeah.
And I love this idea of looking, because you talk about how important it is, and to remember as an artist or a creative individual to actually look at the world around you.
And then the word you've missed out is look and see.
Look and see.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the key thing. Because when you've got a little viewfinder on a film camera, you've only got that 2 centimetres by 2 centimetres, and you have to really line up the shot. And you know, 11, pocket money, only 24 shots on the film. You didn't really want to make a mistake.
No,
so you really
focus.
Learned how to set up the shot and then go up in the dark room with my dad and then develop the film and then put it into the enlarger, the negative, and see the magic of the print arriving.
Yeah.
And then, yes, it came out. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then that taught me to look and see, really, and to be, I suppose, to be observant.
I think there's another quote I read about you saying that you like to be childlike, not childish.
Yeah, very much so.
Which I found really inspiring.
Yes, well, I'm sure all of us in this room, I mean, that's absolutely the
key. We definitely are, yeah.
That's why I always say with this room, it's not childish, this room, because it's got toys in it. It's childlike. And what that means is you're not cluttered with education or history or experience. You are, but you must not be if you want to be creative. So you just say, well, why can't we do that? Let's have a go, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just I think it was Picasso who said, I spent his life, you know, still trying to paint like a child, you know, because it's so free.
Yeah.
My missus is a, you know, she studied at Slade School of Art. So she has a capability of painting and drawing very nicely. And one day she was with her granddaughter when their granddaughter was very young. And the girl said, oh, could you draw me a cat? And so Pauline started drawing a cat that was pretty good.
Mm.
And she said, no, you don't draw a cat like that. So she got out her pen. And I'm good to do this like this now. She got out her pen and she just did. She said, that's how you draw a cat. So I've just drawn it for the guys here, which is two triangle ears, one little round face, and I think that's thinking like a child. You
yeah,
know?
Totally.
So real and normal and lovely and special, you know. So she said, and Pauline said, you're absolutely right, Dylan. You're right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's inspired you. But so your first shop underneath, or behind it, there was a...
Underneath,
You made it into a gallery space.
Yeah.
Did it smell of damp down there?
Yeah, yeah,
but
exactly.
You were showing works by David Hockney and Warhol.
I know. Can you believe I had a Hockney, a real soup can signed by Hockney.
Warhol.
£600. £600. And I couldn't afford to buy it. I didn't sell any of them.
But how did you set up being a gallerist then for that moment? How did you acquire the art to be in there?
And I had some friends in London one was from Petersburg Press, who were the people who did all the printing for Hockney. Mm. And then another one was a company called Idea Books. And they had a little gallery.
They're still going, aren't they?
Yeah.
They've got an Instagram page.
Yeah, different setup now, but yes, same name.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they just let me have on what we used to call sale or return consignment, you know, work by Hockney or by Bailey and Warhol.
Wow.
And we had all this stuff in Nottingham. And I don't think I sold anything. But
really?
Nobody could afford it in Nottingham, right. £600.
But isn't there a story that you bought your own Hockney print somewhere else, like at a museum, but you had to not pay your bills that month?
Yeah, the very first piece of art that Paulie and I bought that was significant was print that was to go with Hockney's very first exhibition at the Whitechapel in 70-something, 72, wow. I think, 70, and it was called Pretty Tulips. And so it was either the gas bill or the print. And guess what? We bought the here print.
That's what we both did.
Have you still got it?
Yeah. It's on the wall at home. And then we started buying, because Pauline she was at Royal College of Art studying fashion initially.
Yeah.
And then went on to be interested in art history, and then studied that, and then went to the Slade to paint as well. So she's got this lovely wide spectrum of experience, and she crossed over with Peter Blake and Peter Phillips and Kitai and Hockney, and so it was sort of a very magical time at the Royal College. So we started buying, we bought a few Hockney prints around that period in the 70s, and then Peter Blake. Pop artist called Derek Boucher, and he's one on the stairs actually out there.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I was always quite interested in this idea of the Bauhaus as well, and how that might have inspired you. Because if you actually look at everything you've done, you do seem to do such cross-disciplinary kind of, you know, you include all different influences from so many different places, which was quite interesting. And I know that when you had your bike accident, you ended up hanging out with artists and you met Pauline.
Yeah.
So like, has art and Bauhaus and all of those kind of themes really influenced you?
I mean, one of the first major exhibitions I went to was the Bauhaus exhibition at... I've written it down here because I couldn't remember the date. No, I can't find it anyway. But, 1964. No, that's something else upside down. Anyway, it was the Royal Academy had a Bauhaus exhibition in the 60s. Can't remember when. And then I bought the book. And I thought the Bauhaus originally, when I was 18 and started mixing with the art students.
Yeah.
They used to talk about pop art and art and Bauhaus. I thought Bauhaus was a housing estate near Nottingham.
Oh, really? You
know? Then I realised it was actually a German art school.
Yeah.
And I bought the book and I just carried that book everywhere. I've got it over there somewhere and it's just falling to bits because I just love the lateral way they thought, you know, like a bicycle handlebars became the inspiration for a chair or... And I did a project very humbly with Annie Albers Foundation.
Yeah, I've got one of your blankets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Amazing.
Beautiful, yeah.
I guess the thing about Bauhaus is it's mass production, but yet within mass production you can retain individuality and you can have your own style, even though it's something that is available for everyone.
That's right. I mean, and just the reason I like them the most is because of the thing I hope, and that's what I hope with the book, is it's a real lateral way of thinking about things. So not going down the obvious route, you know, just saying, well, what if, what about this? Let's try that. Like the pink shop in LA, for instance, you know, the big, massive pink shoebox on Melrose. I mean, that just came from this table thinking, well, let's do it in pink, you know, and the joy of being an independent company and not part of the big, one of the big, you know, corporations is that you don't have to think about things they have to think about, brand image and all that. Yeah. I don't even know what brand image means anyway. But
and I know that a lot of artists have connected to your clothes as well. So David Hockney actually comes and shops in your shop.
Yeah.
What's it been like meeting artists? Are there some artists that you've met that have like had a big influence on your life?
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, David Bowie, he used to come and sit in my office above Floral Street, which was a bit like this, a smaller version of this.
Well, for a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah.
Wow. No.
Yeah. Because I met him first because one day I was it was an old attic, I got a phone call from downstairs. They said, David Bowie's downstairs. I said, I thought I heard a lot of racket. There was about 600 people out on the street because somebody'd seen him go in and all that, you know, the word had gone out. And so I just popped down and just said hello. And then we got to know each other. And he used to come and hang out. And I mean, not a lot, you know, a few times. He used to call me Smithy. You know, oh, what's that book over there, Smithy? Why have you got that? So he was very curious, wonderful. I mean, really wonderful. And Pauline had supper with him one night with Hanif Qureshi, you know, and the writer and his wife. Wow. The four of us, and then Bowie and his wife. And we ate in a restaurant somewhere in the West End, and it was as we left the restaurant, we were walking down the stairs. It was upstairs somewhere. And David was just with Pauline and I, and he turned to Pauline and said, "The party's over. We're going to call it." And Pauline's like, David Bowie is now singing to me personally on the stairs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so, and you dressed him a lot, didn't you, do in one of his albums?
Yeah, see, there's a nice picture down there.
Oh, yes.
That's me poking around my head around the back. Can you see?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he's pointing at you in the picture.
Yeah, no, aww. Yeah. Yeah, so Bowie and Patty, of course, Patty Smith is she's very a regular visitor here.
Love her.
And we made some jackets for her recently. And,
wow.
So it's nice. Yeah.
And what about working with like painters in your practice?
I mean, we work with painters who are normally up and coming.
Mm. Yeah, so how do you find them? How do these people come to you?
And that's normally to do with a scholarship.
Yeah.
And then also the fact that because people now have the scholarship, now I have the shop in Mayfair in Albemarle Street. And so we've worked with several young painters there, like the one, I think you... Is it Joy?
We love Joy. We love them.
Yeah. You've got three ceramics in there by them, and they're beautiful.
Wonderful. Yeah, yes. Wonderful. Very fine. And then hand-painted.
Yes.
And then there's a girl called Holly Freen. There's a guy called Tom...
Oh, Holly Freen. I love her paintings.
And John
they're
Booth,
kind of
course,
faces John
Booth. Booth, yeah.
There's stores
and then Tom Hammock, and who's... exhibition was cancelled because of the virus, but that's coming up again.
Great.
And we've done... With some of his work, we've done little handkerchiefs and scarves as well. So
I forgot about the John Booth thing because I came to see that because you had his head pots in your store.
Because
you have a kind of part of your Albemarle store.
Which is downstairs.
Such a beautiful
it's all interiors.
Space.
Yeah, that's right. And also we let him have a studio down there for a while.
So cool.
No way.
Because we've opened a new shop in downtown LA and it features all of his work, or huge paintings all the way around. And all the windows are full of John's vinyl. We made vinyls of his work on the windows. So it's this amazing, because it's the Orpheum Theatre here, and we're next door on South Broadway, you know, what we used to be called Skid Row down there, you know, which is changing a lot.
Which makes me think of Little Shop of Horrors.
It will be good once once people are allowed out again.
Yeah.
So Johnston did the entire shop, so that was great. And then I'm not very good at remembering all the names, but, you know, in Paris we've done collabs with French artists because we've got one shop that's just got all the walls are shelves, so they can do little pieces of art and then just lean the art on the shelves.
Oh, wow.
So we've done quite a lot of projects with them. So musicians, artists.
Do you go to museums a lot? Do you visit museums?
Normally, yeah. All the time, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and because I travel a lot,
yeah.
I often go in Tokyo or, you know, Kyoto or wherever, you know, Milan, Paris, etc. Yeah.
And talking about traveling, my ex-boyfriend actually met you in one of your stores at Heathrow Airport, and you actually were serving him, and he couldn't believe it was you. I love that story that you actually like taking such an active role in the actual shops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you'll always find me on a Saturday afternoon if I'm in England.
Yeah.
In my shop in Albemarle Street in London. Yeah. And I've never forgotten who pays my wages.
Yes.
Never, never, never. And it's the customer that pays the wages. And so. And I love meeting people. And that particular shop normally, not now, of course, but normally is just so international. So you meet, and that's where I actually, going back to artists, we met a lot of artists by just them coming in.
Yeah.
And then chatting, then, you know, if we can try and do something with them, we do, you know, which is...
What I love about your stores is the way that every single one is distinctly yours, but they're all curated with all different ephemera, with all different objects and paintings and stuff. Do you place these and go, I would like this shop to have this painting and these sculptures and these...
Yeah, normally we do, yeah. I mean, obviously it's got a little bit too big for me to, you know...
It all comes from your collection,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. Well, Alan, who sits the other side of this wall normally, he's there, so I just say, well, in Hamburg, I think we should... you know, we should have this artist or that artist. Yeah. And then with the shop in Hamburg and Berlin, we have a big art wall there. We have these things called art walls, which is a bit like the one you're sitting next to, which is just full of pictures that go from something quite precious from a drawing from an 8-year-old who sent it in on an envelope or something, you know.
That's what I like about
there's
your
no
collection
hierarchy.
Though is there's no hierarchy, yeah. Exactly. But also that you have like street artists, like I think that one might be Bast even. Like,
yes, yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
And I know you have like Banksy painting, and then you also have paintings by, you know, artists that you would see in the Tate.
Or
you know, you have this really
and
mix
the kids
of
sketching.
Things.
I always
things
select,
that you love.
I always select on spontaneity, nothing else. It's never to do with money or fame or anything. I just thought, well, I'd like that. Can I afford it?
Do you go into like charity shops and flea markets?
Well, not so much now, but a lot of the initial collection was exactly that. Yeah.
Really?
And on Portobello Road in the 70s, when it was an antique.
Yeah,
was it really
yeah.
truthful antique place?
Yeah.
So there used to be a gallery in Westbourne Grove called Cult Gallery, where I bought really a lot of paintings there for £400-500. I mean, I bought at least 100 from him over the years, you know, to go to different shops around the world. Because he had it was mostly work from the 50s and 60s, so it was a particular style.
What's your house like? If your shops are like this and this is where you work, is it similar?
I have a room.
You have one room where you're allowed to be a hoarder.
My wife has a house.
Right.
And I have a room.
And what's your room like? Okay. Look around.
Very similar.
What's your cleaners like? Are they a fan of yours? Or?
They have a fantastic method of cleaning this room.
Oh, go
really?
On.
Blow. So they have the vacuum cleaner that gently blows and then suck. So the dust goes like this, and then they switch it to a vacuum cleaner, and then they go like that.
God, that sounds like an art performance in itself.
What?
It's amazing.
It's like dust floating in the air.
And is that daily they have
the
to do that?
They used to do it daily, but I get in so early. You know, I get in at 6 every morning, so it's a bit of a... Sometimes we cross over.
Yeah. How would you define your taste in what you collect? I know you said that you're very varied and you can't, but there must be, because there must be something that links everything.
It's very hard to answer that question, because obviously I've got all this is the William Coldstream Ewan Uglow style, so that's a particular
paintings,
that's paintings from the Slade School of Art.
Yes,
actually that's the one on the right's a Corbusier still life.
Wow.
That's
which
amazing.
Is disappearing on the hour from the sun, but it is a Corbusier.
Wow.
And then I support a lot of artists, so I'll often just buy a painting because I like their work.
Yeah.
And as you can see, there's big stacks of work just leaning against the wall because I've just literally run out of space.
They're all framed in a black frames, a lot of them. They all have a uniform style, so they can all have a salon hang but work cohesively together.
Yeah, but and I don't even mind if they don't work that well because I think I love the mixture of things. Yeah. I mean, on the wall there, you've got that, that's Chatsworth House, the painting, the photograph, Duke of Devonshire having a sleep. Mm-hmm. And that was a photograph taken by Lucian Freud's assistant.
Oh, David Dawson.
David Dawson.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah. Oh, we know David.
Yeah,
we
David,
him
David
on the show.
Took that. Yeah.
Great.
And then you've got a sketch by Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah.
And then you've got...
David's also a painter. Have you seen his paintings?
I haven't seen his
paintings.
Oh,
we
love
his paintings.
Yeah. You'd really like them. They're great.
Yeah, I've got a lot of his photographs. Yeah. I've got the whole set of Lucian's.
Did you get Lucian's? Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like the advice you gave as well, where you were saying that you don't need to worry about the status of something or whether it's expensive. It's just whether it speaks to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that you can start a collection even with no budget, and you did yourself. So it's your proof of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right in the early days, the biggest expenditure we ever had was the Hockney. And then after that, I used to...
How much was it? Can you remember?
I've got £200 in my head, but I think it was less than that, I think.
And it was a signed edition?
Yeah, it was a limited edition of 70, I think.
Wow.
And then my wife then, years later, found a little rhyme by somebody called Billy B, I think. He said, "I had a little Hockney, nothing did it bear except a 10% increase in value every year."
I love that.
Yeah. So it got shoved in with the print
instead
of the gas bottle. Yeah. Yeah. But you know that little picture there of the potted plant?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you looked on the other side of that, it's a piece of wood that's a kid's game.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then just somebody sent it to, you know, one of the people who send me things sent it. So that's so important. That's equally as important as, you know.
Yeah, again, it's no hierarchy.
That's Dame Laura Knight. That's Cecil Beaton.
Wow. What's your most prized piece of art that you own?
I mean, I've got a painting by Banksy.
Wow.
Which is hidden away at the moment because it's just come back from an exhibition in Denmark. But so, you know, obviously most of us know about The Prince by Banksy, but
yeah.
I bought it, from a mate of his years ago. And it's the Van Gogh Flowers Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
The Flowers
Are You've
dead.
Got that. That's your collection. Wow.
Yeah, and I've got another painting by Banksy as well and a print by Banksy. And I've got...
And have you met Banksy?
I don't think I have. Unless you are.
Yes. Thank you for buying my painting.
Oh, you're welcome. It was bloody expensive.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, bought me a car.
Actually, it wasn't that expensive. So...
You've got Hepworth as well, haven't you?
I haven't got any Hepworth, no.
Who would you want? Who do you covet then?
I mean, I've got some Rauschenberg prints. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, but one of the real... collages would be fab.
But do you have a budget now? If you buy art, if you saw something and you're like, I love that, do you go, well, that's too much money for me to consider spending on one item of art?
I don't, not really, no. I've never really gone for the real thing. I mean, the Rauschenberg that I like, which has got Kennedy in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buffalo 2, I think it's called,
yeah.
From 60s. I mean, that just sold for $50 million.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's no way, especially right now with the way trade is around the world.
Yeah.
The last painting I bought was of some toilet rolls, which is done by James Lloyd, my original.
Which very of the rhetoric right now, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a valuable item.
Yeah, the commodity at the start of lockdown, they were like worth more than gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we ask every guest two questions. One is if you could do an art heist and go to a museum or someone's house or anywhere and steal an artwork, and it could be huge or it could be tiny and we could put it in your pocket, which artwork would you take home?
Can you put the S on the end?
Yes, artwork. Totally.
Oh, yes, of course.
Definitely can. And that does make sense looking at your collection. You probably need more than one.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rauschenberg Buffalo with the Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because I suppose Rauschenberg, you know, I went to New York in 1974 and 1974, and the place to go was Leo Castelli Gallery.
Yes.
And Rauschenberger was one of the stable.
And Hockney was.
Yeah.
Was he not?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, they were very, it was pop.
It was quite American
pop,
as well.
Pop gallery.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it was fantastic gallery. And then Pace Gallery, which is where my shop is now. The old Pace Gallery is now my shop. Yeah. So Rauschenberg, I would nick a Rauschenberg, definitely. Collage. Because that was so revolutionary at the time. But then, you know, you've got to have a Matisse in there somewhere, haven't you?
Of course.
Which I'd probably steal from the St. Petersburg, from the Hermitage, you know, because when I first went to Hermitage and look, I saw the Matisse for real. I'd always seen them, like, in a book, so I always thought they were the book size.
Yeah.
And then when I realised the size of the goldfish swimming around in the jar. I mean, God, beautiful. So I'll have one of those, please, as well. And then the list would go on.
But it's really more painting than it is photography.
Well, I don't think I'd buy photography. I think I'd buy painting. And most of the work I've got is by well-known people, prints, because I could never spend the money on a painting.
Mm-hmm.
So the paintings I've got are normally where I've supported students, so they're sort of a sensible price. And but the I'd love a big Hockney or a, you know.
Have you met David Hockney?
Oh yeah. There's a picture of me and him down there.
Really?
Somewhere. Yeah.
What other artists have you met? You met Christo, because I saw a Christo print downstairs.
Yeah,
to you.
Yeah, Christo. Yeah, I was a huge fan of. I've been to nearly all the Christo, you know, the various things, when you wrap the Rundstedt and
wow.
The,
you've seen them in the flesh. Wow.
Yeah. Rundstedt. I've got an original Christo one of his original drawings with of the Rundstedt with the bit of the fabric as well.
Wow. And wow. Yeah.
That's really precious. That's very lovely. That's at my home. In my room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who else? You must have met a lot of the YBAs when that was all kind of kicking off. Hearst and Emin and
I know Tracy Emin, Hearst. I know all that group. And then Lucien, I knew very well.
Oh, really?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did he paint you?
Pardon?
Did he ever paint you? Draw
no,
you?
No, he didn't. No, he was due to come here to look around, and then he got ill. And passed away the next week. So he was going to come and he always kept saying, I want to come round. Aww. I used to drink very posh wine with him. Yeah, extremely posh.
Sancerre or whatever it was. Yeah,
no.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What's a posh wine? What's the poshest wine you could have?
I mean, Margaux, Chateau Margaux, Saint-Julien with him. Yeah.
Francis Bacon?
Never met him, no. Okay. No, never met him, so sadly. But Kitai. And
Auerbach? No, I don't know.
Not Auerbach, no. Nearly met Auerbach because there was talk of him wanting a corduroy suit from us, but never quite happened.
I always wondered if you'd met Bridget Riley, because I always thought like Bridget Riley would really like what you do.
She probably bopped me on the nose, thinking
she probably stolen my idea.
which I didn't
no,
at all.
Of course not.
I didn't even know. No, I mean, there was Peter Blake, I know very well.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Peter. You know, that live age from Peter. Yeah.
Oh. Well, the other question we ask everyone is, what is your favourite colour and why?
Oh, how can you ask a boutique owner and a fashion designer that question? You know, the point about fashion is that it's very much about seasonal colour. Oh. So it's a tough one to answer that. I mean, I do like a good red, but not Pillarbox.
Hell no.
No.
What kind of red, though?
Not Pillarbox.
Okay.
Any other red. But
and red and orange together are feisty. Really good.
You've actually got an amazing orange cardigan in your new men's collection that I saw online that is the brightest orange ever. And
And there's one with your Afghan, Homer. There's a print you
Yeah, and I'm obsessed with that jacquard jumper with the Homer Afghan.
The manager, original shop manager.
I know, your original shop manager, the dog. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, we both looked exactly the same. So,
and we saw the picture when we came in the entrance as well. And I love this idea of like personal details like that. You know, your actual personal family narrative.
It's sort of biographical, your collection something. And the way you put your work out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, lots of references to things that we've done together. And the lockdown collection, let's call it, because I couldn't. You know, the one I did in this room, just talking to my designers, was really based on the holiday snaps, because Pauline and I have about 30, maybe more, photo albums since the year we met. So she's really brilliant at keeping
photos. You're archivists. You are like the most perfect archivist, because you're saying all these references, yeah. You're going, oh, that book's over there from my youth.
I know,
and that picture's there.
You know where it all is.
You know where it all is.
I know. I mean, that freaks everybody out, including
me. Your mind, yeah.
Yeah. So she's, even now with digital, she'll still have a print made. And so, you know, we went through the lovely, lovely albums we've got, and that was the inspiration for the collection of going back to a three-pleat trouser from that I wore in the 80s, or a wider, bigger shape shirt. Or
yeah, because you've made a collection that's inspired by the 50 years of your business, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, that's like really interesting.
Yeah,
because that's a lot of photo print, which I was like the pioneer.
You were a pioneer of it,
the photo print. You know, taking a photograph and then have it printed directly onto fabric.
Yeah.
With this one mill.
You and Anya Hinmarch. Was Anya Hinmarch doing that at the same time? You had a bag designer.
Yeah. I think I'm a lot older than Anya. Yeah. She's clever, but and probably she does a lot of photo print. But I think probably I was there earlier just because I'm older, not because I'm cleverer.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I could show you the lots of interesting things in the room, but we've probably run out of time.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sir Paul, CHCBERDI.
A joy to spend time with you in your creative space. I love it so much.
Yeah, this has been an absolute joy.
So
I know. Well, next time when you do it, bring the video camera and then you can...
Exactly, yeah.
We're going to take some pictures now, if you don't mind, for the Instagram.
Of course, everybody listening,
please go to our Instagram to have a look. And then there's at Paul Smith.
There's Paul Smith Design.
That's it.
And then there's Paul Smith. That's my one.
Yeah. And you've got the new one for the foundation.
Now there's Paul Smith's
Foundation.
Foundations.
Which I followed last night because it's a brand new account and you've done one post so far. And it's growing already. So everyone check out the
We should try and get Talkarts, try and get involved in Paul Smith's foundation.
We should actually. It's a charity. I'd love to get involved. I love the whole ethos of it. It's very much
it's just about putting back.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We love
you, thank
Paul.
You so
thank
much.
You. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.